close.
Yeah. Save it for the show. All right, we're going to do an intro. It's going to be beautiful. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. We got a familiar face joining the show today. We get Milan Lucic coming from St. Louis. Milan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
You know, I can't complain. It's always great to see your face, first of all, because you always seem like you're in a great mood. What's the great thing is, though, you interview these guys years ago, then you get them back, and I'm like, can we switch times? And he goes, I can't. I got to pick up my daughter from school. You're such a mature guy. How many kids now do you have?
Three.
Three kids. He's in full dad mode. It's a beautiful thing to see, because I myself, you know, have lots of kids. So good. Good for you, Mr. Dad. But I want to talk about you and what the hell we're doing here. You're 37 years old. You see the state of the game. You got Connor Bedard, Celebrini, McDavid's flying up and down the ice. You honestly think you're going to jump on an NHL squad here, Milan?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had self-confidence, right? I mean, even when I was 14, 15, 16, you know, there was a lot of naysayers, and I just always believed in myself, and I still feel like I have, you know, something to give. Unfortunately, I got a little derailed here with an injury in camp. One I've surprisingly, as a hockey player, I've never experienced before, hurting my groin. So genetically, I was always good as far as, you know, any groin pulls or groin tears or anything like that. So, I mean, the timing of this isn't ideal. I mean, couldn't have come at a worse timing.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just fortunate that I'm still have this opportunity. And, you know, Marshy alluded to this, you know, when someone asked him, I think it was either before the season or just before camp, you know, saying, you know, kind of playing until you can't play anymore, or play until they kick you out.
Yeah.
And I remember being a young guy when we had a 42, 43 year old Mark Recchi on our team. And, you know, he used to say all the time, play until they kick you out. And it was funny too. You know, when I hit my 1,000th game, you know, there was a bunch of guys around the league, even guys that I hadn't played with, that had reached out and congratulated me on playing 1,000 games, who had played 1,000 games. And they just said, you know, just keep playing until you can, because there's nothing better than you know, being a professional athlete and being an NHL hockey player. So, you know, I still feel like I can play, and I'm just happy and fortunate enough that, you know, the Blues are giving me a chance to do that.
Well, hell yeah. Like, I like everybody, ideally, they would go, I'm going to leave at my peak. You know, I'm going to leave when, you know, they still want me. Name one person who does that. You know what I mean? Other than Michael Jordan. No, Michael Jordan even played when he was on the Charlotte Hornets, where he was an old fart. But like
Washington Wizards, yeah.
Washington Wizards. He owns the Charlotte Hornets now. I'm so out of touch these days. But yeah, and it's not like you're that irrelevant. Like, you still are a really good player. But I want to know, you get hurt the last preseason game. Your camp was going good. Were you going to make the team? You'd obviously had conversations with Doug. I'm sure throughout the camp you guys were talking, you and Monty and Doug and them. What was the outlook like before that injury?
Actually, the injury happened after my first preseason game. So I had played through the injury.
No kidding.
Yeah, the next three preseason games. And it took me a lot to get through that. But, you know, in the situation that I was in, I had to give him something to evaluate. You know, yeah. I couldn't just play one preseason game and then go on the shelf for however many weeks.
Yeah. Okay, sign then, me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, and, you know, I was really rusty that first game in Columbus, as anyone would be, right? It's you know, you don't play for that long. It's the timing. I mean, I even know, even when I was in my 20s, that first preseason game, you know, it was usually a crapshoot. You know, your timing's off. as an individual and as a team, you're trying to find where you're supposed to go. You know, guys usually aren't in the right place. You know, when you're looking to make a pass or even get open for a pass. Yeah. So, you know, I was a little extra rusty. So I kind of, you know, pushed myself through it just to give him a little bit more to evaluate. But to answer the question, it's funny. I didn't talk to Doug or Monty too much about that. Yeah. Basically, the conversation was, you know, get healthy, get yourself back up to what 100% is now. As you know, we'll never be 100% like we were. But, you know, we want to see you get back up to 100% and we'll reevaluate this situation. So, you know, I this is just my guess. I think most teams would have been like, oh, you're done. You're old, you know, get healthy. We wish you the best of luck. But just that they're willing to, you know, allow me to get healthy and you know, give me another look, you know, it's just, you know, it's a good sign for me personally. And, you know, it's given me motivation to, you know, to get healthy to 100% and see what I can do from there.
It's kind of a testament to the organization too, because like you said, I think every other organization would have said, okay, we gave it a shot. We had him in here and now he's hurt, you know, kick rocks. Does that relationship and the familiarity we have with Montgomery kind of play a part in that? Cause you played for him in Boston. He knows the type of guy you are and the type of player you are. That must help a little bit.
I'm sure it helps a little bit. I think that's more of a question for him to answer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I think it's a good young group here. And I think if you look at their season last year, they made a real big stride in the right direction. You know, I think, you know, they lose Ryan Suter, obviously great player, great career. He's not officially retired. So I don't know what's going on with him, but you know, I think he was a big reason why to help the leadership group here, you know, help them, you know, turn things around and make the playoffs last year. If people remember, they were a few seconds away from beating the President's Trophy champs, Winnipeg Jets, to making the second round. And so, you know, you lose a little bit of that leadership in the room. So, you know, that's kind of my thinking of it. Obviously, what I think and what's factual are two different things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's for me now, in my role, I mean, you know, you're not expecting a 25-year-old Milan Lucic to walk in, but it's, you know, someone with experience, someone that knows how to play in certain situations and, you know, be a calming presence, but also, you know, a bigger brother, you know, protective type of guy. And, you know, just look around. I mean, if you look back, and I've said this in other podcasts, if you look back since 2019 when the Blues won, every team that's won since then has gotten bigger.
Yeah.
You know, what did Tampa do to win those back-to-back cups? They added bigger players and big, especially on the backside and the back end with D-man. You know, they got bigger. Colorado, a bigger, stronger team.
Mm-hmm. Florida.
Vegas, bigger team. Florida, bigger team. So, you know, it's that, you know, when you get into the trenches of, you know, the hard parts in a game, you kind of need those big bodies and also the experience of, you know, how to calm guys down and how to ramp guys up depending on which way it is. So I think that's kind of, you know, what I see and I evaluate the situation is coming into a team like this that has some really good, strong young players, but are still learning to, you know, take that next step.
And I think you nailed it on the head with the skill and the size that's needed. And when you look at the league, we had Tage Thompson on the show a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I'm a big Sabres guy, love them. And then I look at his team and I ask him, like, Tage, how did you like that last year when you got blew up and nobody really did anything? And it kind of brought me back. The reason I went to Buffalo was because of you, because you took the most disgusting cheap shot I've ever seen on Ryan Miller. We won't go into that because it just still boils my blood, Milan. But hey, so I'm talking to Tage and I'm like, why don't you have toughness? This team's been in the tank for years and you still don't have that element. And teams take liberties. And when you look at the Blues, like you said, they're young, they're talented. But since Ryan Reeves left, I feel like there's been that thing that's been missing. You know, I know Parayko's a big dude, but he's not that tough. And you can add that aspect. And then, oh, by the way, you're a world champion. Oh, by the way, you're a Stanley Cup champion. Oh, by the way, you've done everything and been everywhere. And you still can put the puck in the net, I would assume, because you did that throughout your career. So there's value there. So I don't want to, you know, inflate your ego bigger than it already is. But so before picking St. Louis, was there a ton of teams out there, or how did that process work out?
Yeah, there was actually a handful of teams that I, you know, that reached out and that were interested, and then, you know, kind of narrowed it down. But it kind of came down to the conversations that I had, and I had the most conversations with the Blues, and they expressed the most interest, and you know, that's what it came down to was, you know, what opportunity and what situation am I walking into that I'm going to give myself the best chance to make a team. And just judged on, you know, the amount of conversations that I had and what we were talking about and what they were looking for, it just felt like it was the best opportunity for me. So yeah, that's why I went with that. And yeah, just a lot of things that you were saying, you know, prior to this is I agree with a lot of it. And, you know, like you look at the Sabres and, you know, they've turned it around. They've turned it around in a good way.
Especially,
I watched their first three games and I was like, oh man, it looks like they're already thinking about their summer vacation, you know, with 79 games left. But, you know, they've clearly, you know, got things back in the right direction after these, you know, these last four or five games, which is good to see. So yeah, I mean, there's still impact for it in the league. You know, guys tend to respond well to, you know, just feel whether it's just the presence, and, you know, certain guys feel a couple inches taller and weigh a couple pounds heavier just by having a certain guy. It just helps out big time, you know?
No, it's huge. Everybody just tries to play it off like, oh, you don't need toughness. Hell yeah, you do. Absolutely. And I know you've probably heard it from your teammates. It's like, I remember when I used to play your Bruins, we hated it. And it's not because you were the most skilled. You did have skill. It's because you knew you were going to get plastered through the boards every time you touched the puck. And the other team that did that was the St. Louis Blues. Like in my heyday, when they, like, Tarasenko was running you, they had Roman Polak, you had all these, like, David Backes, you had these huge bodies that were running you through the ice. Do you think you can instill that in this team? Can you go up to a Dylan Holloway or a Buchnevich or whoever and say, you know what, try this out?
Well, I'm definitely going to try. I mean, yeah. And if you looked early on this season, you brought up Dylan Holloway. I think he's thrown like two or three big hits already. And it's just, like I said, it's just being a calming presence. Yep. When things get, you know, a little, I guess, can get overwhelming, or, you know, a lot of people think, like, you know, and forget, like, it's the NHL, right? So even if you're playing a team that's, you know, low in the rankings, they still have NHL players on that side.
Well, I was thinking the last game they played Detroit, you go up 4-0. I'm like, this is a perfect spot for Luch to be in. They start coming back. It's 4-1, 4-2. That's would have been perfect for you to be on that team. Like, settle the nerves, get into a fight, get a big hit and calm the nerves, and everything's fine. You win that game. But Detroit scores six in a row and you lose.
Right. And those things sometimes happen. And what I see now, and I'm not just talking about the Blues, I'm talking about the NHL in general, is, you know, like from when me and you grew up, the training's a lot different now than it was when we were playing hockey growing up. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids are on the ice 7 days a week, 12 months a year, which is not like anyone from our generation. And they're doing a lot of one-on-one skill and, you know, so sometimes when things get, I guess, when the other team's got momentum, you know, they try and do, I guess, too much, you know, they're trying to do too much and trying to make a high risk play. And, you know, when things, when I talk about a calming presence, you know, you can just tell the guys, hey, like, let's simplify, like, you know, just straight lines, just simple passes, get in the ozone, get in the cycle. And I like to call it, you know, play that ground and pound where you're getting down low or you're forechecking and then you're just establishing zone time. And then on the flip side, if your team is flat, you can ramp it up and provide something also with the same formula by simplifying, but getting into the forecheck, creating momentum that way, you know, a big hit. And whether it's me or encouraging another guy to step out of his comfort zone to do that, you know, it's, and that's, I guess my point that I'm getting to is, you know, you can be that presence, whether on both sides, just knowing the game within the game, because yes, everyone, you know, it's about, you know, the final score and, you know, who wins at the end of the night, but there's so many little games and situations within the game that, you know, certain teams are still learning and, you know, it takes time and it takes trust and it takes leaders. It takes, you know, a whole group effort in order to establish that foundation within a team.
It's funny when the Florida Panthers have been successful now for 4 or 5 years that they started winning Stanley Cups when they did exactly what you said. And everybody thought it was revolutionary. It's like, oh, wait, they just throw the puck at the net and get a rebound? Like, that's how they get their goals? Like, Sam Bennett all of a sudden is a superstar? It's like, no, he just gets in front of the net and he gets a rebound and it goes off his shin. Versus, you know, when they were the President's Trophy winner and scored a million goals, and then they get the playoffs and they get waxed. So it's just funny. And then they get Brad Marchand last year, and he's a revelation. It's like, no, he's just playing smart hockey. Like, he gets it deep, he digs it out, and they score a goal. And everybody's just like, how do you do that? It's crazy.
Right. And to add to that point, it just wears the other team down.
Yeah.
Right? It just wears them down when you're having to play against that, you know, for 60 minutes or – in a 7-game series, it eventually just wears you out, right? And to go back to that old point, when you have big bodies doing that, you know, it wears you down even more. And you talked about our Bruins teams and how you guys hated whether we came into your building or especially when you guys came into our building, we would just wear you down. And that's why we were a good team, is because it was simple. It wasn't, like you said, complicated. It was simple, but you know, it was hard to play against, and it would come, whether it was the first line or the fourth line.
Yeah, that's the key. Everyone
bought in and everyone was doing it. And, you know, it's a simple formula, but it's, you know, the coaches have to do a good job by, I guess, convincing the guys to buy into that.
That's
the
key.
And the leaders and the older guys, you know, setting the standard for it. So that, you know, it's like you said, there's people out there going, oh, how are they doing this? When truly it's a simple formula, but it's hard, right? Cause it takes consistency. It takes every day, whether even in practice days, you got to bring it. And that does, it's easy, but it's hard at the same time.
It's hard to get everybody to buy in. I think you nailed it, because you go from, you know, does Bergeron want to get 100 points, or does he want to win a Stanley Cup or contend every single year? And not a lot of guys can do that. So you've been around this team for a while. Do you see this team being, you know, a Stanley Cup contender? Because they have, like, there's so many great pieces on this team. You got the offense, you got the defense. I love Robert Thomas. I think he's one of the most underrated guys out there. You got the Burner and Kyrou. You got the young guys. And the defense is starting to get healthy, and they look really good. Do you see pieces here that, you know, we can work with this?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think there's, you know, I think there are things where you talked about where they can compete. I think if you look at last year, the way they played from, especially after the Four Nations, I think they were the best team in the league. And, you know, that didn't happen by accident. And, but it just goes down to what I just talked about is, you know, it's a buy-in from everyone. And it's, you know, even though there's a lot of good, great players here, there's not a MacKinnon or a McDavid or a Crosby on this team, but you know, as a group, there's a lot of really good players, and it takes everyone, and it's just a matter of everyone buying in and everyone being in sync, and once everyone keeps going, once everyone goes in the right direction, I think you saw last year what they were able to do. But you know, every year is a new year. You gotta reestablish it every single season, and even the good teams will tell you. You know, even teams that have won back to back, they didn't do it the exact same way. Yeah. It's still a different road and a different path to get there. And there's ups and downs, and there's adversity. It's just how you handle it and you know, how you come out of it. But to answer the question, I think there's some really good pieces, and it's a good team here to definitely compete for to have some playoff success.
So you mentioned the Four Nations, and the biggest shock going into that was the starter for Team Canada, your goaltender, Jordan Binnington. I have always thought the guy's a complete psychopath. That's just the vibe I get from him. You've been around him a little bit. Can you just confirm that? Like, the guy's a lunatic?
No, I think that's just his competitive nature. He's a really good, calm guy when you're around.
Oh, yeah, right. Really?
Really. I mean, I wish I can tell you that he was a psychopath, but you know how it is. Sometimes, you know, guys are how they are once the competitive juices get flowing.
He's a different cat, though. I don't see guys like, listen, I played for 10 years. I didn't see goalies challenging guys to fights on the ice. Like, this guy's a crazy man.
Yeah, I didn't really see that either with the guys that I play with. There was sometimes Timmy Thomas would get mad and want to fight, but yeah, I mean, it's just his competitive nature. You know, it gives him an edge, and as you can see, he's won some big games. I mean, he's a big game player. He's played well, and I'm sure he'll get the nod for the Olympics here as well. So, you know, he's, like I said, he's a good guy. He's a fun guy to be around. I'm sure other guys and goalies that don't like him, if they spent some time with him, they would change their opinion on him. That's for sure.
I don't know about that. I still think he's crazy. That's just me. So let's talk about you. You know, your groin gets hurt, like you said, first preseason game. You play through it. Probably doesn't help it. You are in an agreement with the Blues. You know, when you come back, we'll get like a PTO, I guess. I don't know. They've mentioned something. I don't know how it works. I didn't know PTOs could go in the regular season, but whatever. All that aside, how are you feeling? How's the body? How's the groin?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I'm just trying to stay. I'm just trying to stay in today, you know. You know, with injuries, sometimes you can start thinking too far ahead, and that's when you can get yourself a little stir crazy. You know, when you start thinking a week or 2 weeks down the road,
it's intimidating
because things aren't feeling good today. So and the good part is every day I'm getting better, and every day that I'm skating, I'm feeling stronger. As far as a scale goes, I'm probably at 80% right now. So, which is a good sign. And so I'm getting closer. And then, I know that they can do PTO extensions into this season because when Brian McGrattan was on a PTO with us in 2010 in Boston, we extended him, and he actually lived with me for a month. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, because he was sick and tired of being at the hotel. It was just me and my girlfriend, who's my wife now. We were boyfriend, girlfriend at the time. We were just like, you know, we have a 3-bedroom apartment. Why doesn't he just stay here? So, he got to live with us there for a month. So
this mountain of a man just shows up. It's like, hey.
just a big mutant, like he likes to call himself. So, you know, once I get healthy, then, you know, we can come up with a plan starting from there. And like I said, you know, in my situation right now, you know, where most guys would probably come back around 85, 90%. And, but for myself in this situation, I got to make sure that I get myself to 100%. So I give myself the best chance and best opportunity to make a team.
Yeah, this is it, man. Like, you know, you 100%, you need to be. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of teams are going to give 38 year old guys a chance next year. So this is kind of it.
Right. Exactly. So I got to make sure that, you know, I'm fully ready to go before I start this.
No, that's smart. So are you training with them? Are they letting him use the facilities? Are you around the guys at all? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. That's I'm around the guys and they're rehabbing me and training me and skating me. Yeah. So it's worked well. Like I said, I'm really fortunate to have them. Obviously I can't skate with coaches or players or anything like that. So I'm skating by my, just CBA rules,
yep,
you know.
Yep. I didn't think of that.
Any rules. Mm-hmm. So we're doing everything to stay within the rules. But it's still, you know, it's funny. A lot of people don't, like outsiders, and obviously they wouldn't know this. A lot of people don't know that the hardest thing about being an athlete is actually being injured.
Yeah.
Because you're on your own schedule. You're doing, you know, you're kind of by yourself. You're not, you go to the home games, but you're not really in the game.
You don't travel, yep.
You don't travel. Like I said, you're not practicing with the team. You're not working out with the team. You're not really doing anything. So, you know, mentally, I think it's, and physically, it's the hardest thing of being an athlete because, you know, especially you work hard so summer to get ready. And then you get hurt and it's almost, you got to work even harder physically to get yourself back up and running. And then mentally, you know, you're just trying to, you know, just keep yourself, like I said, you keep yourself present, feel your feet on the ground because your mind can wander and you know, we're all athletes, pro athletes, right? So we get impatient. We want things to happen right away. So it's taxing physically and mentally. So to have the Blues allowing me to do it this way has been really great. And also too, just, you know, having, you know, my wife, my kids here and
huge.
The family support is, you know, bigger than anything. So it's been good as far as the mental side, because I mean, I know I would probably unravel if I was by myself or somewhere else, you know, trying to find ice times, you know, fitting into PT schedules and all that type of stuff. So it's really helped me out a lot on the mental side as well.
Yeah, teams are funny with injuries. I remember I was on one team where the coach didn't even want the healthy players to see the injured players.
Right.
So if it was game day,
that was my experience too back in the day.
Yeah, game day, those guys are lepers. Get them out of the locker room. You're not allowed to be seen at all. And it's so bizarre because, like you said, it's a huge mental thing. It's right. Like, okay, well, now what do I do? I'm on my own. I'm on this island. And my good, well, he's passed now, Derek Boogaard. That was his downfall, Boogie, because he got hurt with the Rangers. And they just kind of put him to the side and said, okay, take care of yourself. And it's like, okay, you can't do that. Because, like, we do need that support. So I'm like, hey, your wife and kids are huge. And then the Blues seem like they're doing it the right way. So that's awesome. So glad to hear that. Is there anything else you want to touch on? Because I know you got to pick up your daughter. I could sit here and talk to you forever, but I know you kind of got a quick out. You got to get on the road in St. Louis, but I'm so happy to see you're doing great, man.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? I mean, the podcast is called Dropping the Gloves. I mean, it's good to see there's some, the fighting numbers are up a little bit. I think it was it last Saturday? There was about 7 fights just on Saturday night. So yeah. It's, you know, it's good to see some of that fire back, right?
I thought you were calling somebody out. I thought you were going to call somebody out. You're going to say, Matt Rempe, I'm coming for you, baby.
You know what? And he had a really good fight there with Reeves the other night. And, but unfortunately he got hurt on that one. I haven't heard what, I don't know if you have,
I can't divulge anything.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you later. Are we going to see the oldest fight ever, you and Ryan Reeves? Potentially, what a dream that would be. Two guys drop their canes and here we go. Be sick.
The sticks that we use as canes out there.
What a Halloween costume.
Yeah. But no. It's like I said, it's good to see some of that fire back. You got some, I mean, that, what's his name? Douglas there. His first game.
Yeah, the big boy from Tampa.
Yeah, fighting McDermott right off the get-go. The other guy there in Tampa, is it Lillenberg? Or he's had a couple fights. Another, I think he's like 6'3", 220.
Just a big Lillenberg, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's good to see some fights and guys. I mean, I don't dissect them as good or as much as you do, but I do enjoy seeing them because, like we talked about, it still plays a role in the game. I think the fans still love it. I think especially because, you know, especially I think as far as viewership goes, it's as popular as ever, and they're that, to me, that's still a part of the game, allowing the players to police themselves. I think if you ask me, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is, you know, cheap shots go down when there's a fear of you know, the players policing themselves. And so it is good to see, and hopefully we see more of it. And just like anyone, I haven't talked about this yet. When I saw that three fights to start off Canada, US at the Four Nations, I think I jumped off my couch and I was ready to go. My blood was boiling, and
people love fights.
It was great to see. And I was actually in LA. We were in our place in Hermosa Beach during that time. And it was funny because you have people, you know, in LA that aren't normally hockey fans talking about hockey because of that, right? So all the people out there, you know, fighting this, fighting that, fighting's bad. But you have people in LA, you know, in Hermosa and the South Bay, Manhattan, Hermosa Beach, they're big, you know, they're big King supporters. So there's a lot of hockey fans, but you know, the average person isn't a big hockey fan. So to hear a lot of buzz and people like all the restaurants and bars, it was all over the place. So it was really great to see.
Yeah, it's a front page of every paper, and it wasn't because of the goal scoring. It was because of the fights.
That's absolutely exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just so I actually had a question. I do a Patreon. My loyal fans, they pay to hang out and all, whatever. One guy said, did you ever have to tell Marshy to calm down because he was just being too much of a rat? Did you have any conference? Because I play with Otter.
No, I never did.
Okay.
There were moments when the it was probably three or four times maybe that the older guys told him to calm down.
Yeah.
But it was almost the reverse. We would try and round them up because
that's funny.
Then he would bring us into the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So
because I had Steve Ott in Buffalo. And I knew when Otter got going, I'm like, it's gonna be a busy night. Like, here we go. Because he would go run Chara. I'm like, okay. Like now is the time. We're going to get this going early. So I loved it. But people just, I don't know, it's a different breed. But Marshy is one of the best ever. How happy are you what he's doing in Florida?
It's great. I mean, I'm really happy for Marshy. It was great to see him become a champion again. You know, especially, you know, when you win it, we won it together. We're the same age, same draft. Even though I was a rookie a couple of years before him, but you know, to see him, you know, be a big part of that team. He scored some really big goals. And I've said this before too. I said, if they don't make that trade for Marshy and Seth Jones, I don't know if they go back to back.
Oh, not a chance. Yeah.
But you know, to see him win again, I mean, that's the reason why I still play, is because, you know, I won as a young guy. I got to experience that in my fourth year in the NHL. I was 23 years old when I won that Stanley Cup. But you know, it was great. I got to experience it with Brittany, my parents, my brothers, my grandparents. With those people. And for me, I would love nothing more to experience that again. You know, especially having children now who are all older that would remember a moment like that. You know, that was a big reason why I went to the World Championships. A lot of people don't know, but I actually called Doug Armstrong and said, hey, find a spot for me on the World Championships. I've never played in this tournament and I want to win a gold medal. And it was mainly not only just because I wanted to win for Canada and, you know, win a gold medal, but also I wanted to share that moment with, you know, my family and my wife and kids. And, you know, that's a motivator that I still have and why I want to play. And, you know, and to see Marshy be able to do that, I couldn't have been happier for him.
Gosh, that's cool. And the World Championship's gotten really good. Like, it's not just some throwaway tournament like it was years ago when guys didn't want to go and they had to beg guys to come. Like, there's some really good talent that goes.
Right, exactly. And you know, like, Switzerland's been in the finals the last 2 years, so they're a team. And it's not like it used to be, right? I mean, there are a couple teams. Like, we played Kazakhstan that, you know, that they weren't very good. And
you got to get through the bracket first before you get to the big games.
Right. But for the most part, the parity's there. And, you know, you saw this year the U.S. won for the first time in, what, 90 years, 85 years or whatever it was. And then, you know, the Czech Republic won last year. And so, you know, it's a great tournament for any of those guys wondering if they should ever experience it that keep saying no. Now that I've experienced it one time, it's something you should experience as a hockey player because it is something different. I mean,
all right, I'll go. Fine. Yeah. I always turned him down. I always turned him down. I said, I'm too busy, but now I'll go. You sold me.
But, like, you know, even experiencing a city like Riga, Latvia, and it was honestly a beautiful city. It was a beautiful city. It was a great city to experience. And, you know, friends and family that came there loved it too. Like, who would have thought, you know, Riga but Latvia would have been a place that all the players and our friends and family enjoyed as much as we did. But, you know, we got to experience that as well. And just to see it from a different, you know, different hockey angle and what it means for those European players. Because for a lot of those European nations, to them, the World Championship is their Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So to experience that, I'm really grateful that I got to do that and take home a gold medal for my country.
That's cool, man. Well, listen, Milan, I appreciate you jumping on. I wish you nothing but the best, man. I hope you enjoy the talk. You're always a great talk. I could talk to you for hours. But yeah, go get your kids. Good luck. Get healthy. I want to see you wearing the Blues jersey sooner rather than later and just dummying some guys. Right. Don't you want to see that right down the pipe?
Ugh. Yeah, I want to see that.
All right, buddy. Listen, thanks for jumping on. We'll talk to you later. Cheers, man.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.